Hello and welcome, glory to God, for He is good. And we're going to open up our other live streams. But God is good all the time. And we're joined today by our special guest who appears every day with me, which is Baby Pan. And so, glory to God. I hope you guys had a good Saturday, good weekend, and that you are blessed and highly favored by the one true God, because He is a God who cares for us, a God who fights for us, a God who never lets us down. And that's why we come to Him each and every day, giving Him all praise, all honor. Amen. Hello, hello. Yeah, so good to see you guys. Yeah. Glory to God. Hello, Zero. Emanuela. Hello. Aerial Bots. Yo, what's up, what's up? Good to see y'all. You prayed today? Good job. God is good. He's really cute. Yes. Glory to God. He's got big eyes, too. Big eyes. And big mouth. I never seen him yawn so big, but his mouth is big and big and bigger. Yeah, that's right. See, he just keeps opening his mouth. Looks like he's hungry, but I guess not. But today we're going to be going through this daily devotion. And it's from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. And it says, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. We want to give glory to God in everything that we do. Everything that we accomplish. Every milestone, every accomplishment, every heights that you go, you give all glory to God. Because without God, we would not be able to do anything. So it's by God's grace that we are here. And by God's grace, we are able to experience and hear the word of God and be part of His presence, part of His glory, and part of His will. Amen. So let's read the passage. Ooh, yes. Welcome, welcome. 2 Kings chapter 5. It says, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord has given victory to Aram, and he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, leprosy is skin problem. Wow, this is going to be another miracle. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naam's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only my master would see a prophet who is in Samaria, and he can cure him of his leprosy. And Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 sets of clothing. And the letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you can cure him of his leprosy. Okay, so as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. And when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know. Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parpa the rivers of Damascus better than any waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them instead and be cleansed? So he turned around and went off in rage. And Naaman's servant went to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan, and seven times, as the man of God told him, and his flesh was fully restored and became clean like of a young boy. Wow. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your guidance, your patience, and your wisdom. Lord God, I pray the Holy Spirit would be here, guiding us in the word and guiding us as we listen to your everyday stories, your everyday instructions, your everyday love to us. Lord, we thank you and we accept everything that you say to us. And may we continue learning from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, he makes the funniest face. Maybe I'll just do this so that it can be recorded so mom, grandmom can see it. And plus we can replay it in the future. Yeah, we can replay and just see and watch the baby. Hey, yeah, there we go. And so there's two reflections here. Reflections are so important to be able to reflect on the word of God so that you and I can grow. It helps me so much, and I know it can help you. So listen to the very end. The first reflection is making God known. Making God known. And God intends for Naaman to have a personal encounter with him. And this happens through Naaman's own illness. It is ironic that the captive Israelite girl who serves Naaman's wife believes in the power of God to heal, while the king of Israel lacks this simple faith. Like the king of Israel, we can often get caught up in the worldly concerns and power plays around us. And we see the malice in the actions and others, even when they are genuinely trying to find God. Elisha, on the other hand, he corrects Naaman and visits such occasion to share about the Lord, Yahweh. And likewise, may you also value God's glory, sharing his glory so that you can be on the lookout for every opportunity to tell others of his goodness. Wow. You have an opportunity to make God's name known. And when you try to do that and let that be your mission, then you will see a transformation in your heart, how you find different strategies that become even stronger and stronger and better in making God known. One of the ways that I was able to do so was by going live stream, by publishing videos every day. And with that, I started a year and a half ago. And then now, lo and behold, we are on many, many platforms, sharing the word of God, making his name known, sharing his glory, and bringing you guys into his presence. Because God's glory is something that so many people long for. He is God of eternal glory. He's a God of infinite glory. He's a God whose glory shines so bright that we would have to cover our eyes. He's too bright for us. He's a God of perfection, a God of holiness and righteousness. This is our God in whom we make known. This is the God that we serve. And this is the God that loves you and cares for you and wants to bless you so that you can go about your day and say, I am highly favored. I am blessed by God, because he has given me more than enough. He's given me beyond what I can ask for. He is the one who supplies all my needs, who provides for everything I need in my life. And He can do the same for you. Amen. So we've got to make God known, for He is the Creator, Alpha, Omega, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the one that saves us from eternal damnation, eternal destruction and ruin. He saves us from the lake of fire, from eternal separation from Him. This is the God we serve. We deserve to go towards ruin and destruction. We are going towards it. But God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. We shall not die. Death is not the end. Death is actually the beginning of eternal life in Christ when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and say, Jesus forever. Glory to God. So, make Jesus known. Speak His name. Glorify Him. Say, Jesus forever. Type it in. Allow Jesus to be your Lord and Savior each and every day. Not just one day a week. Not just 2 days a week. But every day of your week, you have Jesus be your Lord, your Savior. Amen. Don't thank Him. All right. Jesus is your Savior. Isn't that right? Give me a big if Jesus is your Savior. Amen. So, yeah. And then number two is that God, He works in the mundane. God works in both extraordinary and in mundane ways. When Elisha refuses to go out to meet Naaman, it's not out of disrespect. As Naaman assumes, the prophet does not want Naaman to get the false impression that his healing came from Elisha's power, from the prophet's power. No, it did not. Elisha wanted to make God known, give all glory to God, because it is not in his own power that he is there. The words that he speaks is not his own words, it's God's words, God's instructions. So Naaman, he was furious. He initially considered Elisha's instructions to wash in the Jordan inferior to the rituals and rivers of his own home country. But when he obeys, he becomes clean. His skin becomes pure like a baby's skin. Wow. And he realizes that it is God of Israel Himself who healed him, who gave him that freedom away from his bodily sin and curse and skin that holds him down. God does not need elaborate rituals to reveal His power. Even today, God's grace is fully present in the spectacular seasons of revival, awakening, and in seemingly mundane services and regular times of worship. God is there. He is present. He's alive. He's powerful in every aspect of life. In the highs, in the lows, in the valleys, in the rivers. He is everywhere. And that's why we can glorify Him. Because the Lord our God never lets us down. And the Lord our God is still working. And He's got power to do everything, anywhere, anytime. So that is why we go to Him in the name of Jesus. That's why we go to Him, trusting in Him, walking in His ways, and being a light in this world to continue showing other people of His glory, of His marvelous work, marvelous light in the highs, in the lows. Amen? Amen. And so, let's dig into this passage from 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. To 7. I know this is helpful. And 1 to 14. So hope was aroused in the brilliant Sikh commander, Syrian army, Naaman. He was the army that was of the Aram king. and somehow Naaman had caught leprosy, a very serious skin disease that would eventually disable him. But great hope was aroused within Naaman. And note why. Because he listened to the strong witness for the Lord of his wife's servant. And this story is compelling and dramatic. And that's right, humility is key. And so Hope, aroused in the brilliant but sick army commander, he listened to a strong witness for the Lord. Naaman's noble character was great, noble, honorable, victorious, valiant, and brave. But he had a disease, which was leprosy. And Naaman's hope was aroused when a young slave girl from Israel bore this strong testimony of the Lord to the Lord. And she served Naaman's wife. And she had a strong urge that her mistress was to send Naaman to the prophet in Samaria. And she believed that the Lord would heal Naaman through Elisha. Is that your baby? Yes, my baby boy. Thank you. Baby Pan. And Naaman's belief in the young girl's testimony, he secured permission from his king, King Aram, to go to Samaria and was given a letter of introduction to the king of Israel and a large gift for the king, assuming that the prophet served the king. And then he traveled to Samaria and presented the letter to Jerom, the king, and requested Jerom to heal Naaman, and obviously through his prophet. And then he was the king. He was feared and detained by Israel's king. And Jerom, he reacted. So worldly minded. He never thought of Elisha. He forgot about Elisha. And Jerom concluded that Syria was seeking an excuse to invade Israel. So Naaman, a man of noble character, honorable commander, who won victory after victory on the battlefield for the Syrians, he was courageous and a heroic soldier. Furthermore, in the eyes of the king and the Syrian citizens, he was a great man who held the highest esteem. But Naaman, he had a problem. He had skin problems, leprosy. And the Hebrew word for leprosy is sara or sera. It refers to some form of skin disease that was incurable and eventually incapacitated the victim, pretty much paralyzing them, stopping them from being able to work. And because of his wealth, his royal position as commander, Naaman had access to the best medical and top technology of that day. And he would find no cure. Apparently, the disease would ultimately be fatal. And sadly, the man of noble character was caught up in helplessness, in hopelessness, and in a situation in which this disease was incurable. And yet, suddenly, from the most unexpected source, Naaman's hope was aroused. Several small groups of Syrian soldiers has raided some of the border town of Israel, taking captive of a young girl. And when the combat troops returned to Syria, they gave the young girl to Naaman, who assigned her the task of serving his wife. And one occasion, Naaman was home from fighting, and this young slave girl was strongly urging her mistress to encourage Naaman to visit the prophet Elisha, who lived in Samaria. And she believed that the Lord would heal Naaman through Elisha. Wow. It's amazing that even as a slave, she was able to testify about God, who would eventually lead Naaman towards the path of God and would seek help from God, from the prophet of God. Wow. That's great. Praise God. Amen. So, if this is helpful, type Jesus forever. His name is Noah. Good. God has showed love to the baby. You see, he's got a lot of hair. He was born with a lot of hair. So Naaman, he believed the young girl's testimony, at least enough to seek out Elisha, appealing to the Syrian king. And then he secured permission to go to Samaria. And the king, who was probably Ben-Hadad II, or Jerome, gave Naaman, Ben-Hadad II, gave Naaman a letter to introduce himself to the king of Israel and a large gift to pay for the service of the prophet. And note that the Syrian king assumed that the prophet served in the royal courts of Israel, King Jerome, and that the gift he sent was a huge gift, 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of royal clothing that no doubt was very expensive. Now this baby is 8 pounds, 8.5 pounds, and so 150 pounds of gold would be around 20 times heavier than this baby boy, or let's say 17. That's a lot of gold. That's a lot of gold. Very expensive. And 750 pounds of silver? Wow. That's a big payment for his servant to be healed by the prophet. And so, with a heart full of hope and expectation, Naaman, he traveled to Samaria and he presented the letter of introduction to King Jerome. And the letter requested that Jerome was to heal Naaman of his leprosy, and no doubt by assigning the task to Elisha, whom he thought served as the royal prophet. But as soon as Jerome read the letter, he was gripped by a dreadful fear, for he knew neither he or any of his royal prophets had the power to heal the Syrian commander. And so he feared when the commander returned unhealed from Samaria, and Syria would have excuse to invade Israel. In fact, Jerome thought that this was the very purpose of the letter, to give Syria an excuse to invade and attack Israel. So much fear and anxiety gripped Jerome's heart that he never even thought of seeking the help of the prophet Elisha. Yeah. So what can you learn from this? You can learn that hope was aroused within Naaman. The hope of being healed of an incredible disabling disease. But Naaman's hope was aroused for only one reason. One reason only. He listened to the story, to the testimony, and the witness of a young slave girl. And he accepted what she said. He believed that the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of the prophet Elisha, would heal him. And believing the message that the Lord's power was what aroused hope within Naaman. And the same hope can be yours if you simply believe in the Lord, trusting in His power to take effect in your life. No matter what circumstances or crisis you may face, you too can have hope. If you will just believe the witness, the testimony about the Lord, and you will have been saved and delivered, or you will be saved and delivered from the bondage and enslavement of this world. No matter what may attack you, grip your life, God will infuse His power within you to conquer, to deliver you. And the condition is faith. Have faith in God. You must believe in Him, trust His message, and witness about the Lord. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And that's why we must go to God first in prayer in everything that we do. Because without God, we would be lost. Without God, we would be headed towards ruin and destruction and crisis that we cannot get out. Without God, we would be in bondage and enslavement to the world, to sin, to the devil. But because of what Jesus has done, coming from heaven to earth, being righteous, he gave his righteousness to you by clothing you with his love, with his blood, with his mercy and grace. Now you are saved, and now you can be made whole. Jesus can take away all of your sin and make your life better. Amen. Because when when you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. And that's why whenever you read the word in Christ, and you're living in Christ, you can know that this is a promise to you when you are in Christ. So you want to pay attention when you read the Word of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 15 says, "But the seed in the good soil, which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, will keep it and bring forth fruit with patience, with perseverance." Wow. Naaman, he was a good soil. He was a noble, valiant soldier, commander in the kingdom of Aram, of the Syrian army. And then he was willing to listen to about what the God of Israelites can do, what Elisha can do. And so he was excited, and he even paid a visit to Elisha. He didn't call Elisha to come out to him. Instead, he went the miles, the ways, to the Israelite king, and then to Elisha. And then he got instructed what he should do, which we will touch on next. John 3:15-16. "So that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, shall not die, shall not have eternal separation from God, but have eternal life, everlasting life, everlasting presence of God." Adriano, he said, "I'm getting a Bible tomorrow. Glory to God." Praise the Lord. Read it. Start from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Get to know who Jesus is. John chapter 5, verse 24. It says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes in him has sent me and has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You see? Shall not die, but you shall pass death and go into life. So, you ask, do Christians truly die? Maybe physically, everyone dies. But spiritually, we never die. We have direct access into heaven by the blood, by the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. "Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness." Above all, taking the shield of faith, and where you quench all fiery darts, temptation, trials of the wicked. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, come to God. Believe that he is. He is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You gotta seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. Amen. And then, "This is his commandment, that you should believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as he had loved you, as he has given you this commandment." Another one is, whatever, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. That is your faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Glory to God. Yeah. So Naaman, he had skin problems. And Naaman's hope was fully realized and completely fulfilled. This passage, he was healed and converted. And this event is a drama at its best and the most exciting. When Elisha, he heard about Naaman's visit and the king's fearful reaction, he sent an offer to help the king in his distress. Somehow rebuking the king, Elisha encouraged him to send Naaman to him so that he would prove the true prophet in Israel, the prophet who can call upon the Lord to heal the Syrian commander, in referring to himself as the real prophet, while all the other royal prophets were false prophets. And Elisha, he was claiming that the Lord whom he serves is the only living and true living God. And Elisha saw an opportunity to bear strong witness to the commander of the Syrian force if he could lead Naaman to a saving knowledge of the Lord. The commander would be a strong witness to many in Syria. Wow. Naaman's arrival at Elisha's house was an impressive entourage of power and wealth. And he obviously rode up in a caravan of chariots with all the pomp and ceremony of a commander, stopping at the very door of Elisha's house. But Elisha, his response was that of a man unimpressed with worldly glory and display. In fact, he did not personally go out to meet the commander. Instead, he sent a messenger out, instructing Naaman to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Wow, did he do that? Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. That's verse 10. And if Naaman would follow these instructions, he would be healed and cleansed of his leprosy, cleansed of his skin disease. Welcome. And then, in contrast, note Naaman's disrespectful and arrogant reaction. He was filled with rage, feeling that Elisha has slighted him, has looked down at him. And he expected that Elisha himself would personally come out, wave his hand over his leprosy, pray and heal him. And in his mind, he considered this suggestion of Elisha to be those of a quack. He would be more likely to be healed by washing of the cleaner rivers of Damascus than the dirtier one waters of Jordan. And filled with fury, anger, the commander turned and rode off. He was displeased. He was not happy at all. However, God was at work in the hearts of both Naaman and his servant, and the commander still was to be healed and converted. And as soon as Naaman's servant felt it was safe to approach the commander, they began to encourage him to calm down, to get control of his emotions. Get your stuff together. Then they began to suggest that they would have paid any price and undertaken any difficult task demanded by the prophet. Why then would he not do the simple thing suggested? They would have gone into battle to conquer whatever countries to fight for Naaman. But Elisha was not sending him there. Elisha was sending him into the Jordan River. Why would he not do that? To be washed, to be cleansed. Finally, being convinced by his servant, the prideful, self-centered commander reluctantly obeyed the instructions of Elisha, the man of God. And he went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times, exactly as Elisha has instructed. And immediately, at the 7th dip, he was healed. And surprisingly, his flesh became healthy and looked as young of a child. And excited and filled with a heart of thanksgiving, Naaman quickly returned to Elisha. No, he did not quickly return to the king of Israel. He did not quickly return to his own hometown, his own king, but he returned to the source. He returned to Elisha and made a strong confession of faith to Yahweh the Lord. He knew now that there is one true living God in Israel and that there is no other God than the Lord who they worshipped in Israel. And he alone is a true and living God. In appreciation for what Elisha had been, Naaman attempted to pay the prophet. But Elisha, he informed the commander that the payment would not be accepted. Salvations and deliverance and healing was free. It's free. God's grace alone. Salvation cannot be purchased. Not by money, not by your works. It cannot be paid for. Writer asks, how old is he? He is 7 days old. Thank you. 7 days. I lost my train of thought. So he tried to pay the prophet, but salvation cannot be bought. We cannot work salvation on our own accord. We are powerless to sin, but God is powerful. He is the one that overcomes sin. He's the one that defeats sin and death. He's the one that sets us free from the bondage of sin and gives us salvation. It's because of Jesus we have salvation. Because of Jesus we've been set free. Because of Jesus we've been made whole. So before he left, Naaman asked 2 favors of Elisha. First, he requested enough dirt from Elisha's property to take back home so that he can build an altar. He asked for dirt, and then he needed the altar to offer sacrifices to the Lord, for he would never again sacrifice to a false god. And second, Naaman wanted Elisha to pray and ask for the Lord to continually forgive him for this one thing. In his official duties as commander of Syrian army, he was required to join his king in religious services in the temple of the false god Rimmon. And at such times, he would ask for forgiveness. But as he wanted Elisha to pray for the Lord to forgive him, Naaman was confessing that he would be present with the king with only in official capacity, not in the heart. Only as the commander, but not as a servant. I mean, not as like saying, I'm wholly yours. No, he is holy God, the Lord God, who is one true living God, Yahweh. And it was the Lord alone who would worship. And note that his dilemma was somewhat the same faced by Obadiah during the days of Ahab. Incredible. And assuring Naaman of his prayers, Elisha announced his blessings upon Naaman, and he told the commander to go in peace of consciousness and mind. And no doubt, Elisha charged Naaman to make every opportunity that he could to be a strong witness for the Lord. And keep in mind that Naaman's conversion and witness for the Lord were already far stronger than the vast majority of professing believers in Israel itself. And the day of the kings was a period when people lived sinful and wicked lives. Contrary to the false profession of most people, Naaman experienced the true conversion and would be a far stronger witness for the Lord. Yes and amen. Thank you, Lord. So what can you learn from this story? You see, before this commander of the Syrian army can be converted, he had to lay aside his pride, lay aside his arrogance and self-exaltation. No doubt, this was a difficult thing to do, for Naaman was second only to the king of Syria. He was not only chief commander of the armed forces, but he also was second leader over the entire nation, one of the most powerful nations on earth during that time. Power, authority, honor, praise, recognition, esteem, adoration, all lifts a person up in the minds of people and causes a person to feel prideful and exalted. And all this had been a daily experience of Naaman. As a result, he had become a prideful, self-centered, self-exalting person. But when he confronted the Lord, he had to empty himself of pride and humble himself before the Lord. So it is with you. Before God can save you of your needs and meet your needs, you must lay aside your pride, your ego, your selfishness, your self-exaltation. Your pride is excessive, uncontrolled self-esteem. It is exalting oneself above others, exalting your appearance, your position, your achievement, your health, your authority, your ability, skill, knowledge, intellect, and your friends and network. Too many people are living in pride. Too many people are living in ways that are self-exalting themselves. You can take what you have, your pride, and chuck it out the door. You can take your ego and shove it down and say, no more. Because God, He is more powerful than you. He's more famous than you. He's more wealthy than you. He is more wise than you. And that's why you must absolutely come to Him in humility with a heart, humble heart, that says, Lord, I need you. Lord, I cannot live my life without you. Lord, I need you to guide me in paths, in ways, because I do not know what I'm doing. Lord, I thank you for giving me this position. I give you all glory for this achievement. Thank you, Lord, for this health that I have, for this wealth, for this authority. Thank you, Lord. Come to God in humility, in thanksgiving, rejoicing in Him, giving Him all glory, pointing other people to Him for your knowledge and your friend circle, for your abilities, for your skills, for your talents, for your treasures, for your time. Give it all to God. And when you put it into God's hand, He is able to multiply it. He's able to do abundantly, exceedingly above anything you can imagine, you can ask for, you can think above that. This is the Lord God we serve, the Lord God we follow, the Lord God who never lets us down. This is the God that Naaman was actually encountering in this circumstance, in this situation. And you can take anything that concerns you and exalt it above others. So you should take your pride. Take pride, boast in the Lord instead. Take pride in how God has made and blessed and gifted you with what you got today. You should esteem yourself highly, but never credit yourself, but credit God. Never exalt yourself above other people. Pride becomes sin because God resists the proud. God humbles the proud. God rejects the proud. But He exalts the humble. Pride becomes a sin when you become arrogant and exalt yourself over others. And listen to what the Word of God says about pride, arrogance, and self-exaltation. Sophia, is he or she your baby? He is my baby. He was born 7 days ago on June 22nd, 8.5 pounds. Thanks for asking. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. You're moving your head yourself. You're funny, man. And whatever and whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Memorize that. Memorize it. It's so helpful. Wow, Lillian says, my mother just gave birth too, and he is 9 pounds. That's crazy. James chapter 4, verse 6. And he gives more grace, and he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, go. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. That's great. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. It said, do not love the world, neither the things that are in this world, because all that is temporary. If any man loves the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. So if you love the things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. If you love money, if you love just like your Lambo or your car, your house, or your things, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not the Father's, but it's of the world. So you're living in this world, but you're not of this world. You're living in the world, but you're not of this world. But you are sent into the world to spread his word. Amen. Oof. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. With the humble is wisdom. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. Then comes ruin and destruction. But with the humble comes wisdom. When you are humble, if you want wisdom, then you absolutely must be humble. And that's why whenever I pray to God, Lord, give me wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment. I also know the key to wisdom is humility. Do you think when the baby grows, he wants a sibling? Absolutely. He wants a sibling. Okay, let's continue. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Wow. So check your pride, guys. Are you so prideful that you're not willing to listen to God? You're not willing to seek help? You're not willing to listen to anyone? Check yourself. Don't live in pride. Don't live in pride. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. The haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. In Obadiah chapter 4, it says, though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. God is in control. God is bigger. God knows all things, sees all things. And he humbles and resists the proud. So do not be proud. Instead, live in humility in Christ and give him all glory. Say, all glory to God. If this is helpful, type all glory to God. Because we want to give all glory to God in everything we do. All of our accomplishments, all of our trophies, all of our things. Like just a milestone, we give all glory to God. So you don't have to say, oh yeah, it's all me. No, you say, because of him, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can have a new day. Because he lives, He gave me the Holy Spirit because he lives. I am set free from my sin. And now I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Someone said, I'm happy to join your program today, Pastor. Well, glory to God. Thank you for tuning in to the live stream. And we do this daily devotion each and every day. And we give our glory to God. Someone said, bro, you're too young to have a baby. How old do you think I am? Take a guess. Shoot up some numbers. Shoot up some numbers. When you guys get it right, I'll let you know. You're getting your bird today? That's very cool. Someone said 27, 222. Someone said 22, 32, 25. Yeah, thank you. Keep going. Rika says, I wish I had a baby when I was younger. Well, how old are you? How old were you? Someone said, 24. 16. I'm not 16. I'm not a teenager. I'm a pastor. I got my Master's of Divinity, by the way, my master's degree. Said 33. 30. 20. No one got it yet. 32. Someone said 36, 38, 45, 35, 31, 29, 28. Keep guessing. You guys are almost there. 30, 36. Ah, there you go. Ding, ding, ding. You got it, Jody. I am 34 years old. 34 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations, we have a winner. I'm 34 years old, having a baby at 34. Is that late? I'm pretty old now, right? You guys think I'm younger? But yeah, glory to God. Yes, I do have a baby in my hand. Yeah, some people think it's a doll, but this is not a doll. This is a real life living baby. He's controlling his neck. He's able to do so. 50? Thank you, thank you. I'm 34 years old, my brothers and sisters. 2 years off, almost there. So, all glory to God. And we're going to have many more to come. Many more to come. So, just be patient. And wait on the Lord. So, we have application questions. And application questions are amazing because it gets us to reflect on our own life. Gets us to talk about it. And to me to share my testimony. And you to share your testimony. And so, yeah. Praise the Lord. The Lord keep you young. Yes. Glory to God. So number one out of four. It says, how would you describe the manifestation of God's glory in your life? Well, I don't even know what that means. How would you describe how God manifests his glory in my life? Through the suffering, through the pain, through the hard work and diligence. You see, our God is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of a diligent hand. He gives. He wants you to prosper, to have good success. He wants you to flourish in life. He wants you to grow stronger in him, closer to him. It is all by God's blessing that we are here together. And by God's blessing that we are giving him all glory. I mean, it's because of his blessings. So every day I can say, well, this grandmother, I heard a story of a grandmother who always says, I am high. I mean, I am blessed and highly favored. And so I want to take that too. You can say that too. I am blessed and highly favored. I am blessed by God. Blessed where I walk. Blessed where I go. Blessed where I enter. Blessed when I exit. I'm blessed each and every day. In the day, blessed in the night. I'm blessed. And you are blessed as well. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. With salvation, with his goodness, with his mercy. You are blessed with your family, with your house, with your clothing, with your internet, with your devices. You are blessed. You are blessed to hear the word of God, which is alive and powerful. You are blessed because his word is sweet like honey. His word is rich like gold and silver. His word is alive and powerful, ready to transform you. And his word will bring you out of darkness, bring you out of anxiety, bring you out of pain, bring you out of suffering and ruin and destruction. His word is the one that sets us free. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. He was the word in the beginning, and through the word it became life. Through the word, God spoke the world into motion through words. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be little creeping things on earth, and the birds in the sky, and the beasts on the land. And there was that. It was by the word that the world was formed. You are blessed. No doubt about it. So how would you describe the manifestation of God's glory in your life? This, in one word, baby Pan. Baby Pan is a manifestation of God's glory in my life. This is being fruitful and multiply. You see, when I did not have God, I became completely isolated, had no relationships, no church, no community, nothing, nothing. I even left my two part-time jobs. I left everything because I was that rock bottom. But when I found God, by his divine intervention, by his divine love, he brought me into his church, into his community. And there, I experienced his love in my life, his grace upon me, saying, I love you. You no longer have to live in sin, in regret, no longer have to live in shame. For you are new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now live in me, and I will live in you. Draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. And so I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Lord, come into my life. Lord, use me. Not my will, but yours be done. May you increase and I decrease. Lord, I give you all glory. For you are the God who I long to follow and serve all the days of my life. I do not wish to serve the world. What good is it to gain the whole world but lose one's own soul? Ain't nothing good. Ain't nothing good. So there, that was my testimony. How God came through for me. And now he added me a full-time job. He added to me a strong network of pastors, strong and close. He added to me baby Pan and a loving wife and a wonderful family. He added to me wonderful community. He added to me this live stream. He added to me so many other things. Whoa. Wow, that's so cool. Thank you so much, Father Bennett. Wow, hey, he's showing so many cool things. This is him, these are TikTok. And the swan, guys. Wow, this is amazing. I'm just checking that. Amazing, guys. And Father Bennett is on TikTok, and he is a pastor there, and he's leading. He's got 1.4, 1.5 million followers there, and he just goes live stream, preaching the word of God each and every day. And then, you know, when I first started back on TikTok, after taking a four-month break, he was the first one to appear on my first live stream. And he sent a gift. And he says, good job, brother. I'm glad you're back. Welcome me back. And I was like, wow, this is huge. So, glory to God, for he is good. Thank you, Father Bennett, Bible Study Daily, for staying, not giving up, for staying the course, for being a light to so many people in the world. Because what you do, you're saving more souls, you're plundering hell and populating heaven. And that's what we're doing. We're bringing Jesus back into families, bringing Jesus back into our state, into our city, into our country, into the United States of America, into the world. We're bringing Jesus back because Jesus is the answer to all the problems. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And so that's why we are revealing Jesus, who is already here in our life, and he's ready. So Hosanna in the highest. Glory to God, for he is good. And so we absolutely must learn from this story to give God all the glory. Just like Haman, who was the Syrian army commander, second in command, who humbled himself and experienced the healing of his leprosy. And now he says, I will no longer serve any false gods, but serve your God, the one true God, who healed me, who cleansed me of my sin and my disease. And this God, he's the same God that we serve, the same God that we walk alongside, we have a relationship with him. Amen. And so, that is how I describe the manifestation of God's glory in my life. He's given me more than enough. More than enough. I could not have asked for more. I did not know I would want a baby boy or love this baby boy so much. Some might say I'm even hogging him. Like, mine. You're mine. You're mine. Mine, mine, mine. So, glory to God. And this boy, he listens to the word of God each and every day. Even though he's snoozing. But after this, he's like fully on fire for God. And he doesn't cry at all. He don't cry after it. Even when changing diapers, he doesn't cry anymore. But first 2 days, he was crying like crazy. But now he is so calm. So God has given me a calm baby. Right now he's calm. But they say calm babies later on become extroverts, so who knows? Who knows? Hello! Thank you, Nig. Thank you so much for all that you do and for that. So, what practices help you? Second question. What practices help you watch for opportunities to share about God? Well, what I know, number one, you gotta be patient. Gotta be patient. Be still and know that I am God. That is a commandment. Be still and know that I am God. That means you're patient with him. You're walking in his ways. And then you're seeking him, having a relationship with him. And relationships take time. It takes effort. It takes energy. You read the word of God each and every day. You would pray to him every day. You would root yourself in a local church, building community. Every week, just let them keep you accountable to serve the Lord, to build his community. Have that mindset, and then God will give you more and more responsibilities and leadership qualities and make you more desirable. Because when you become more like God, more like Jesus, then you become more attractive to others. Because when you have that fruit of the Spirit in you, or the Spirit of God in you, you have the presence of God in you, transforming you, empowering you, guiding you, leading you. Then you'll be transformed into a beautiful tree, fruit tree. And you will bear these wonderful fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, humility. And these things are so attractive to so many people. The world tries to offer you that. But it's only temporary. But what God offers, what the Spirit of God offers, is that eternal peace, eternal love, eternal joy. Joy so good. Joy unspeakable. joy that is just so great. And that's why we can rejoice in the Lord always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Amen. So we give glory to God. We praise Him. And we declare Christ as King, as Lord, as Savior. He is the one that leads us towards the right direction. And so if you want to know Jesus more, you open up your Bible to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Four books of the Bible talks about Jesus, His story, His ministry, of what He's done here on earth. And so you learn what He speaks, what He does, how He operates, how He seeks the will of the Father. Everything I see the Father do, I do. Everything I hear the Father say, I say. I will follow the Father, His plans, His ways, His thoughts. I will consult Him. I'm not here on my own accord. I'm here to love the Father. Love God. And you too are to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You shall love God with all your being, your talent, your time, your treasure. You're to love God with everything that you got, everything that you have. Amen. So what practices help you watch for opportunities to share about God? Keyword opportunity to share about God. So when opportunity meets preparation, beautiful things happen. And that's why it's absolutely crucial that you prepare each and every day. Prepare by reading the Word of God every day, tuning in to this live stream every day, allowing God to speak to you, work in your life every day. And when you be still and know that He's God and be patient, that opportunity one day passes by, beautiful things will happen. Be excited for that. Have faith for that. Know that God makes beautiful things happen. He takes and makes beautiful things out of dust. He takes the broken and makes them, restores them into something beautiful. He takes what is lost and brings it into His light and makes it found and presents it to us. Wow. Glory to God. And number three, when have you been tempted to draw attention to yourself while doing ministry? When have you been tempted to draw attention to yourself while doing ministry? Well, you know, we have 800,000 subscribers on YouTube. And it's so easy to say, here, look at me. But I never just do, here, look at me. I always say, look at what God does. Look at God. This is all God. Without God, I'm nothing. Without God, this is not here. Without God's power and wisdom, none of this would happen. So I'm going to give credit to God. I also give credit to my wife because she's the one that encourages me, that supports me, that says, yes, go ahead, get that MacBook, this MacBook right here, so that you can live stream to multiple places. Go and get this new microphone so that I can speak clearly to you guys. Go ahead. Ah, so much support. Go ahead. Take the baby. Live stream with him. Some people are not really comfortable with their child being revealed onto the internet. They're afraid that he would be ridiculed. He would be, I don't know what would happen, but crazy stuff would happen. But this is a testimony of God. All glory to God for this baby boy. I would not be able to do it on my own. We would not. So we give thanks to God. Give glory to God. Yeah. It says, love glows through her. Uh-huh. And so they say, thank you. Have I been tempted? No, I don't seek attention. If you know me in real life, I like being alone in my own place. I don't really like the center of attention. I've always been very popular in my life, getting to the top in high school, middle school. Never have, like, when I went to school, I was okay with being alone, being in solitude, being just by myself. I was always okay. I didn't need man's empty praise. So, I'm not tempted to draw attention to myself. But I try to draw attention to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. So draw attention to Him, our God. Now, my pastor says, you should share more testimony. Share more of your story so that they can relate with you. So that they can see what's going on in your life. And that's kind of drawing attention to myself. But it took a while for me to be able to share my stories. To share what's going on in my life. It's not easy. It took me 3 years of training in church. Amen. So we believe in Jesus, one true God. Amen. And number four, when have you experienced God's power in regular worship gatherings? Wow. You know, yesterday one of my youth, now a young adult, she said that was through our Good Friday service, through Horizon Summer Retreat, through these retreats in which transformed her heart, make things click. And that's why she serves the Lord in the way she serves. That's why she does it sacrificially. And I never heard that story, but I'm so glad to be able to hear that we're guiding our students in the right direction. We're leading them towards God and allowing them to have good conversations about who God is, what He does, and how He can bless us as a group, as a ministry. So I can't take any of this credit. Nah, I'm just a vessel. I'm just a connector. I'm just someone who connects people to God. And then normally I just back off. And that's kind of my problem. I'm not good at keeping relationships. I'm not good at keeping friendships with people. I'm really bad at it. But you know who's good at it? My wife is amazing at thinking of others. Hey, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. I'm like, I don't care. I mean, I don't wonder. No, I don't care. I don't wonder. And so there's a difference between us. And so I'm working on it. Really working on it. I really, really genuinely want long-term friendship, relationship. And so I don't take any of this for granted. What God has given me ever since I met my wife. This is the longest relationship I've ever had. And may we go until an old age and may we continue preaching the word of God each and every day. Amen. And so let me see. I'm going to pray for us and then I'll answer more questions. Okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you that you're able to lead us into a time that's so peaceful, so wonderful, that's so sweet, like honey, so powerful, and that is rich like gold and silver, that is so soothing that it puts baby Pan and my wife to sleep, and maybe some of you guys fell asleep. But God, thank you so much for being able to lead us into your word, into humility, into your promises, into your goodness, into your presence, Lord God. Your presence is here. And your presence is the thing that attracts so many people. So Lord, I thank you so much. Because without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I cannot do anything. And this prayer, for everyone who wants to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this with me. Dear Lord, I'm broken. I'm hurting. And I need a Savior. And Jesus, you are that Savior. Jesus, I believe that you came from heaven to earth, and you died on the cross, and you raised from the dead, and you defeated sin and death, and you ascended to heaven, giving us the salvation, giving us eternal life, giving us opportunity to walk in your ways, and giving us the Holy Spirit. And so, Father God, I follow you all the days of my life, not just today, but every single day after this, every single week, every single month, every single year. All of the days of my life, I will glorify you and recognize you as my Lord and Savior. I will have a relationship with you by praying to you every day, by reading your word of God every day, and building your community. Lord God, I commit my life to you, to following you, for you are the one that makes all things possible. You are the one that sets me free. In Jesus' name, amen. And the angels rejoice with you when you pray that prayer. Another prayer, guys. Lord God, I thank you for everyone here. Under the sound of my voice, I pray that you would bless them. Let them be highly favored by you. Give them healing in their life, physically, mentally, relationally, healing, Lord God. I pray that you protect them in their relationship with you and provide them in all their needs, for you are the great provider, and you are the great physician, and you are the one that never lets us down. So, Lord, we come before you and pray the blessings and impartation come upon them, that your wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment comes upon them so that they know what to do exactly in their situation. Lord, be their God, be their guide, be their love, so that they may shine for you, be the salt of the earth, and be you the one that preserve this earth as a church, as a community, as an individual. Lord God, we pray that we would bring Jesus back into our life, into our family, into our country and state and place and the world. Lord God, we love you so much. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's see what you guys have to say. Sup, sup. Goku, you have a sad life, you know? God is able to take that time of sadness, that mess you have, and turn it into a message. That test you have, turn it into a testimony. He's with you when you're sad. He's with David when he fought Goliath. He's with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went into the burning furnace, the fire. He is with the disciples when they went through the storms. And he's with you. He's with Daniel in the lion's den, the Israelites, as they called out to him and led them out of the bondage of sin, of slavery. Amen. Which country am I? I'm in U.S., United States of America. God bless you and the child with you. I love you, brother. Thank you. I love you too. May God bless you. Light, hello. Glory to God. Turn your mess into your message. That's right. Your test into your testimony. That is what God does. That is our God Almighty. Bridget says, amen, my Lord, my Savior. Holly, amen. God bless you. Hello, CJ and Nick Bell. Hello, hello. What do you say if someone don't believe the Bible? Say, you know, God loves you. God cares for you. And I just wanted to let you know that you're not alone. And he wants a relationship with you. When I go witnessing, I always make a point to share the gospel. To share his love. And to share his grace, his mercy. I make a point to say, hey, you know, there's a God, Jesus, who loves you. He came from heaven to earth to die for you, so that you can go from earth to heaven, so that you can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, so that you can live a life of meaning and purpose, so that you can have more than enough and be supplied with all your needs by the Heavenly Father. You have that gift. That gift is for you. It's not just for me, but it's for you. So, if you want to accept Him, let me tell you more. Would you like to know more? And then they say yes or no. Can I pray for you? Can I bless you? I'm here to bless people. Can I pray for you? And they say yes or no. And then I have a gospel tract. Can I give this to you so you can read it on your own time? And they say yes or no. Yeah.
Albert, Crystal Fortune, Jay Fizz says, God bless you. Amen. Alex, thank you, Lord, for the word. Glory to God. What's the difference between Christianity and Muslim? Christianity, we believe in the word of God. We believe in Jesus, who is God. We believe in the same God as the Jewish God. That's why we have the Torah, the Old Testament, in which we read the Jewish scripture in the Old Testament, which was well documented. And then we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. While the Muslim, they believe in Jesus. They believe that Jesus will return, the second coming of Jesus. But they do not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They do not believe that he's the way to heaven. And so that's one of the major differences. Any questions you have, you can ask. Ava, amen. We serve an awesome God. Salvation through Christ alone is the difference. Jeannie, no gel. Yes, salvation in Christ alone is the difference. Amen. That's a great answer, Jeannie. She says, I'm seeing God's presence in my past. When I thought I was alone, he has always and will always be with me. Amen. Glory to God. CJ says, amen. Goku says, I'm scared of the solar storm in 2025. You see, you don't have to be afraid. You really don't. Because we know that God, he created the heavens and the earth. And he actually created earth to have this, I forgot what it's called, but solar, like a shield that protects us from the solar flares from the sun. We don't have to be afraid. We're in good hand. You're back, Joseph? Amen. God loves you too. I see you. Lonella. Dawaga. God is real. He is real. Amen. We love you, bro. From Nagaland. Nagaland. Very cool. I never heard of that place, but glory to God that we're able to reach the end of the world. Well, attempt to, actually. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen. That's 100%. Amen. God drowned my fear in his overflowing love. Amen. You have faith that triumphs over your fear. Faith is the thing that propels you, that helps you move forward, that helps you grow exponentially. Fear is the thing that limits you, stops you from going forward. It paralyzes people. Oh, my throat is getting sore. Amen. What is your daughter's name? My son's name is Noah. Noah Pan. Thank you. Amen. Miguel Austin says, you believe in Jesus? Yes. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, through Jesus. And so, Jesus is the answer. He's the best friend that you can ever have. So, Jesus is the way. We have Jesus in our heart. And I believe that Jesus loves you, cares for you, and he never lets you down. So, that's why we speak of Jesus. And we say, yes, Lord, Jesus, we will follow you. all the days of our life. God is good all the time, every time. God bless us all. God is great. Amen. Bridget. So which verse, when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, which verse is that? I should know the verse. But that's from John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, the life. And this was a dialogue between Jesus and his disciple Thomas, who was doubting him. You were talking? Did you talk? You okay? Yeah. And then they were asking, how do we get to heaven? How do we get to where you're going? And Jesus, his response is a declaration of his identity and his purpose, the way, the truth, the life. Amen. Ah, Nagaland is in India, bro. Praise the Lord. We're reaching India. Where are you guys all from? Where are you guys tuning in from? That's really awesome. Be a fan of Jesus. Be a fan of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Do you keep the Sabbath? Saturday? Every day I worship the Lord. Every day I walk in His ways. The Sabbath is different for everyone. God gave me a second chance to change my ways and to tell others about what He's done for me. Amen. King Lion family, glory to God. Amen. So, we have people from California. I'm in California as well, in the Bay Area. I go to church in Fremont, California, called Tree of Life Christian Church, Fremont, California. Someone is from Eva, Terry from California, Shoshmu from Oxnard. Eva Bobby's from California. Teoti Maria from Rhode Island, which is an island. Very nice island. Loranda Grant from Arizona, United States of America. Akua says, yes and amen. Well, here we go, says, God bless you, Pastor. God is good, Loranda. Callie, hello, hello. Shoshmu. Eva Bobbies, I'm the Bay Area too. Thank you for sharing Tree of Life Christian Church. Tree of Life Lord's Harvest Christian Church. We meet at 10:45 tomorrow at the church. Yeah, that's really cool. Very cool. So, you're welcome to come check us out. And then other people said, I am from Soweto, South Africa. Wow, Bridget, that's so cool. From UK, James Hart. Alex from Northern California. Northern California. I should be more excited. God bless. UK, Jeanette from O'Neill from UK. Rika MC. From Seattle, I'm a subscriber. Glory to God. Oh yeah, thank you guys for subscribing, for being part of this journey, for joining me. Yeah, glory to God. Terry from Manteca, California. Woo, glory to God. He's doing, yeah, he's great. Well, I think we answered all the questions. Hello, Omar. Good to see you. So, North Alabama. Guess what? I have cousins and nieces living in Alabama right now. It's a great place. God bless you, too. So, thank you guys for the likes. for the subscribes, for the follow. I thank you guys for joining me in this journey as we do this daily live stream. It really helps the live stream and helps getting God, His name out. And I thank you guys for allowing me to share with you guys what I'm learning and just letting me bless you as I'm blessed as well. Do you need a head vest? Yeah. This boy, he's only 1 week old. 1 week old, and he came out with a lot of hair. Can you believe it? And he's already moving his neck and stuff. I normally hold it, but yeah. Hello, Alberta. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah. So, how old is the baby? He was born on June 22nd. It's been 7 days. So he's 7 days old. I changed his diapers. All of it, almost. All of it when he's with me. Gotta change diapers after this, right? Yeah. Okay, sleep. I'm sorry for waking you up. Haha. Your church has streaming tomorrow. It has streaming tomorrow. It's called TOL Roots. And you can look up Pastor Josh Pan. And then we have Mary speaking tomorrow because I've been so busy. I wanted to preach, but after pulling the all-nighters for Baby Pan, after pulling the all-nighters, I was like, you know, never mind. I can't do it. I mean, I can, but I'll have more opportunities in the future. See, someone said fake baby doll. It's not. Blessed be Pastor. So church. Just had first baby and she's 5 days old. Tell me, is your first baby moving their neck a lot already? Is he able to, your first baby able to do like that? This baby's doing that. Train him to be more like you, or even more. I'll say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Yes. Amen. My baby has a lot of hair too. Ah, that's very cool. Love you. Love you. Yes. There's a boy. His name is Noah. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this should be me wrapping it up. And may God bless you and be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Panda out for now. God bless you.